is August 25th, the evening sermon time. And like I said, it's 27 degrees below zero outside. Blizzard is just around the corner. Probably have to walk home and die in the blizzard. But as it is, I've got my room nice and warm. Must have my room up to at least 95 degrees in here. You know, keep the wind from blowing. So it's a nice thing. Mic on. Mic is on. Cam is on. That's all we do anymore. Video's not. Well, okay, here we go. We're looking at suicide. Just, it's more than an interesting subject when you're the one that's suicidal. And that really is a serious position to get yourself into. And quite often we think the best way to solve our suicide is to commit suicide. But beyond that is to tell somebody about it, then maybe they'll help you. And you're just looking for help. And you end up going to these counselors and these people out there that they really have no idea but just a bunch of philosophical advice on how to feel okay. And it's something that you have to feel okay on based on yourself. And we should know by now, us anyway, and we've all had some bad times. We've all been really down in the dumps. I know it's been serious because some of it is physical pain and some of it is mental anguish and loneliness and being abused and neglected, and there's no hope, you know. We have no hope, which is really not true. We have tremendous amount of hope. We just don't have hope in this world. And we have enough of our flesh, enough of our sin that's in our flesh, that we'd like to experience this world still, especially if you're younger. You would like to go out there and get married and know what it's like to have arguments and make up and all that stuff and have your kids and watch your kids go off to school or else homeschool your kids and have the joy of watching your homeschool kids reject everything you taught them, you know, and all that. It's just a real joyful life, you know. You end up having to go to work and you have to be immodest and you have to just almost, you have to do what they say when they tell you want to work, because then you need to wear your PJ pajamas on JAMA Day Thursday, so you have to do that. Well, I don't do that. Well, you do that if you want to work here, you know. I mean, yes, it's just a joyful world to live in. I'm sure the young people are just really anxious to get out there and live in that thing. You know, when the police call and say, well, your son is down at the station. Oh, it couldn't be my son. Yeah, well, it is, ma'am. Somebody says, your son, I saw your son got on my computer, left a bunch of pornography on there. Well, no, that's not my son wouldn't have done that. After 1 or 2 weeks of convincing everybody that wasn't your son, you find out it was. That's stuff to look forward to when you're young, you know. Ah, but you love your children. Yeah, that's true, you do. But what are some other joyous things in life? Oh, you know, when you get sick and you have payment, you got these things like little nails and stuff going through your hand. Well, that's a cool thing. Then you get to experience the ER, you know, and you get to experience these doctors that are down there. They're nice people, and then they send you the bill, and that's always cool. Oh, look at this. I can support the hospital some more. Wasn't that nice of me? And the guy got good training on your hand because he's never done nails in a hand before, so he, you know, I always like it when the doctors say, does this hurt? Then they squeeze it or push it or whatever. Yeah, well, does this hurt? And you punch him in the nose, you know, whatever. So suicide will stop you from all that. But we also have the fear of suicide not being suicide. You know, you're not going to get it accomplished. And then you're going to be a zombie the rest of your life or whatever. But this segment tonight is we're just going to look at Paul. We look at this morning, you know, we just looked at suicide in general. It's very serious. Don't mean to make light of it. It's a very serious thing to give in, to give up, have no hope, and to call it quits, you know. You better be sure what's on the other side, because if you don't care what's on the other side, you could be really shocked, as they say, on the other side of the wall there. But it's just depression. And there's probably a lot of preaching and Bible verses that won't fix your problem. Well, like I say, the only thing that'll fix most of our problems is just more money. And you find yourself loving the money so much that you'll toss out everything else. You'll toss out your faith. You'll toss out your book reading. You'll toss out your morals. You'll toss out your standards. You'll Because you just got to keep going. And then you feel bad about that. It's a circle. It's a cycle. Or whatever. It's just you go around and around. And it doesn't stop there. So tonight I thought we would just look at Paul. That's what we're supposed to do. Well, what's the risen Savior say about this whole thing? Well, how do we know what the risen Savior said? Well, the risen Savior told Paul to tell us some stuff, and so we just have to go to Paul. So, if that's the case, let's do that. Now, one of the things I think is hard for a lot of people, and it's not hard for me at all. There's two things. One is I've followed Paul. I've thought Paul is the greatest guy in the world to look to and to read to. This guy's been through the junk. This guy's been through the dunk. This guy has been through thick and thin, fat and skinny, rich and poor. And he even says that someplace. I remember it doesn't say quite like that, but he's been through it. And he's not some guy, you know, born from God as far as, you know, he's a guy like us. And Paul has had some really rough times. He truly did. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, and let's just look at Paul a little bit here tonight. Now, one of the things that for me is I really believe when I read my Bible, I'm hearing from the Word of God. I'm hearing from God Himself, as the Old Testament Psalm says, the mouth of God. He is speaking these words to me. And when I read the Gospels, I am reading what He said to the Jews. And that, it's cool stuff. I mean, how He talked to them and what He said to them and did for them and all that stuff, that's amazing stuff. And when you read through the Old Testament, you're reading what God spoke, again, to the Jews through Moses, trying to do the law thing. And if they didn't do their job, man, the severity of God was just what it says in Romans 11:22. It was severe. And, you know, people say, well, how can God be a loving God and be that way? Well, that question just, you know, people, you don't know what you're asking, because heaven is so great. It's so beyond what we can even think of. And it isn't just some bank of clouds, a cloud neighborhood full of harps and harpists harping. It's a life. It's reality. But it'll be with God. And we just have a smidgen of a taste by reading our Bible. We just can read about it anyway. And can we experience it down here? Oh, for about 10 seconds maybe. There's ecstasy, but we can't handle that, you know. We're exhausted. It's just like, oh, but heaven. But on the other side of that, there has to be hell. There has to be lake of fire. There has to be on the other side of the gulf. So they get mad at God for making hell, lake of fire, etc., etc. But then they think the heaven is great. But then they're going to get mad at God when He doesn't let them in because, well, listen, I gave you the ticket. Why didn't you accept the ticket? What is your problem here? So anyway, where was I going with that? Oh, anyway, I look at this Bible, and these are the very words of God to me when I'm reading Paul's stuff. I go through Peter. I don't get upset about that. I just think, boy, these guys in the tribulation, they're going to have it tough. They don't dare get a divorce. That lady has to hang around there and let this guy beat on her. Maybe her Christianity will win him, as it says Peter talks about. And on and on it goes. First John, you know, I hope I don't. Anyway. So when we talk to somebody about suicide and the life they're living and the struggles they're having, and we want to show them some Bible verses, they just go, what? Because to them, this Bible is no longer the Word of God. It's just a religious book. It's a Bible, they say. And it's, yeah, it's interesting. It's good stuff. But I found a website this morning where the guy gets up there and just blasts his people with Bible verses, you know, about the suicide subject. And he's, if I can find it here, he says, no, I guess I can't. I wonder why I can't. There it is. And he says, compassionate people comfort the loved ones of a suicide victim with the assurance that anyone who commits suicide is insane at that moment. So being mad, a suicide victim will not be held accountable by God. Really? That's all you can tell them? Is to tell them that your wife, your husband, your children went nuts for a couple seconds and managed to kill himself? Aren't you so glad he's with God? Yeah? Or if you're a Catholic, you just can't do that, you know? Well, if you're a Baptist, well, you know, you probably weren't saved, I guess. No, we need to get into the Scriptures, and we need to trust those Scriptures to be from God, to you, to me. Hang on to that thing in Corinthians there, but let's look at Philippians chapter 3. We'll come back to Corinthians here in a minute. Philippians chapter 3. Verse 10 here, he says, in verse 8, "Ye doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord." So these things that we don't have, these things that we're losing in this world, these things that are causing us to be lonely and depressed and frustrated and suicidal, etc., etc. Look what Paul says. "Look, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him." So when you sit down and you read your Bible, you're not just reading a religious book. You're not just reading a version of the truth, wherever the truth is. The church has it, but we don't. So this is a good Bible. I can understand this one, blah, 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 blah. No, this is God speaking to us, and it's totally understandable. But you've got to have a little skill of reading. There's no doubt that's a problem that we're having in our country. Kids that weren't taught to read are now running the country, and parents and stuff, and they can't read, so their kids are even going to be worse. Devil's winning that thing by the lack of reading. Anyway, another subject there. So when you read your Bible, you're fellowshipping with God. And if you're really bummed out of your mind because you're willing to commit suicide, you know, well, let's get into the book. I don't want to read any more Bible verses anymore. Oh, so what you're saying is you don't want Jesus, the risen Savior, Christ, the risen Savior, to talk to you. No, because he doesn't understand. He's never been there. He's never shot a nail in his hand. No, they put it, you know, they put him on a cross and did that. I'm not saying that you were got that way, by the way, patient, so don't. Anyway. So one of the things people got to be able to do is we go back to Corinthians. Like I said, you're going back to 2 Corinthians 6. This is God speaking to us. God is going to tell us here in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 through Paul just how rough Paul had it. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, 4 through 10, verse 4. "But in all things you're proving ourselves as the ministers of God." So these guys had to do a good job. I mean, they had to, you know, they had to be the approved ministers as such. "In much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchdogs, in fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by longsuffering, by kindness, by the Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, by love and faith, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the arm of righteousness on the right hand and the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying, and behold, we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making rich, making many rich, as having nothing and possessing all things." Oh, wow. He's got a good reason to consider checking out, I would think. He's been through a lot. Look at 2 Corinthians. Again, look at chapter 11. Go down to verse 16. You sure I can't open up my door? This room is starting, my glasses are starting to fog over. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 16. "I say again, let no man think me a fool, if otherwise yet as a fool receive me, that I may boast myself a little. That which I speak it not after the Lord, but as it were foolishly and in this confidence of boasting. Seeing that many glory after the flesh, I will glory also. For ye suffer if a man bring you into bondage, if a man devour you, if a man take of you, if a man exalt himself, if a man smite you on the face. I speak as concerning a reproach, as though we had been weak. Howbeit, whensoever any is bold, I speak foolishly. I am bold also. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? Hey, so am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. In labors, more I am more. In labors, more abundant. In stripes above measure. In prisons, more frequent. In deaths, oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received like 40 stripes, save one. Thrice I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Was I stoned? Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day have been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils of the city, in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils of the sea, in perils among false brethren. Poor guy, he couldn't go anywhere. In weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Beside those things that are without, that abide, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. And I look at that one like, not only do I have it rough in life, I've even got to go visit these churches and help them with their dumb things that's going on in their church. Like I said this morning, it would be really great. I would think it would be great to have that theater back here for everybody to come here, and we'll sit there and we'll do our talking, and you can talk. We've got a good kitchen, blah, 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 blah. But long with the local assembly, because local assembly problems, and been there. I even had to excommunicate a woman out of her church back there, just causing so much trouble. And I'm gone, she's still there. It's amazing. So we're looking here at Paul. We're looking at Paul. Now, if we went to Acts, I think it's Acts 26. Let's check back at Acts. I think it's Acts 26. 27 maybe here. 27, there's where it is. Acts 27. There's my favorite story to read to the children at night, if any children to read a story to. This is Paul's shipwreck. What a shipwreck. I mean, they ignored everything he had to say. He knew what was going on. But finally, as the ship was falling apart, they turned to Paul. That had to just make his day, you know. And then he goes and tells everybody, listen, everything's going to be fine. But here's what you have to do. You know, that kind of a thing. And then they finally, at the end, they make it on land. So, that shipwrecks, I would be scared to death on a shipwreck. I don't like all that. That's a lot of water out there. Okay, well, let's go to Philippians chapter 1. Paul still had it rough. He had it so rough, in fact, Philippians chapter 1, verse 20, he had a desire to depart. He wanted to go. Did he really? Yeah, look at Philippians chapter 1, verse 20. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. No, there you go. But if I live in the flesh, not meaning that he's back to being, you know, attached to his flesh. No, but he's just inside his body. He's still there. For me to live, but if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I wot not. For I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. Having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Christ Jesus. So here's Paul, who had every reason in the world to want to go. Suicide, whatever we want. Suicide sounds so, you know, suicide. Da-da. And it's a tough thing for people around him. Don't take me wrong on that thing. But here's Paul saying, listen, I just soon leave. But to abide in the flesh is more need for you. I will stay here. I just will. Do we ever do that? You want to get in a situation, I just want to get out of here. Well, maybe if you spoke up a little bit about Paul or whatever, maybe, I don't know, you know, maybe you could stick around there for a little bit. Maybe there was a reason for you staying. I get tired of talking to these anti-Paul guys on the internet. It's like, I can't talk to them. They don't even read my answers anyway. I could sit down with a couple of these guys on the table, air-conditioned room, of course, with hamburgers off to the side, and open up our Bibles and start asking questions and showing them some stuff. But, like I said, been there, done that, didn't work. Probably because I wasn't very good at it. I mean, who knows? The scriptures do their own job. But let's go back. 23, for I'm a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith. So he was thinking of somebody else. And I have heard from people that have not committed suicide, because you can't talk to them anymore, but people have considered that sort of a thing, that if you're thinking of someone else, then you may not have a suicide issue because you're quit thinking about yourself. And just like he says here, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith. Paul stuck around because of you and me. Paul stuck around for other people. Even though he's going through what he's going through, he realized that if he stays there, that's a better testimony. You ever wonder that maybe part of the reason some people want to check out is because there's no purpose and no joy in life? Because they don't know the real God and the real Savior and the scriptures that talk to them? Fellowshipping with Christ himself is only through Paul's books, and even that's rightly divided. Quite a thing. Well, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Yeah, Paul admits that he had some rough times. I mean, he says, we're troubled on every side. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 10, or 8, sorry, verse 8. You know what troubled on every side means? Everywhere you turn, you got a problem. But he says, yet not distressed. Then he says, we are perplexed. Like, what do we do? How do I even do this stuff? And he says, but not in despair. And I'll show you in a minute, Paul did despair. Persecuted but not forsaken. Have you ever been persecuted for what you believe? Oh, yes, you have. But there's no reason to be in despair. Cast down, but not destroyed. So these things do happen. These things do happen. Now, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8, just probably a page flip back. And chapter 1, verse 6, and whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast. So sometimes our suicide issues, or our loneliness issues, or our down in the dumps issues go away if we just think of somebody else. Now let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter. Let's go here to 2 Corinthians 1. Go back to verse. Where are we at here? Verse 8. Yeah, there we go. Sorry. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia. He wants them to know about this stuff. That we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. Oh, look at that. They despaired of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raises the dead. I have a tendency to see here, I think what we're seeing here is, if we keep thinking of the Lord, maybe that suicide thing will fade a little bit. Well, why isn't he giving me money? Why didn't he give me a job? Well, I don't know. You know, as far as the fact that that's not in his job description. You got to knock the doors and get out there and do what you got to do and blah, 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 blah. It was just tough stuff for Paul, you know. There's one other place. I think I missed it here, Truman. No, I just got it right there. Yeah, despaired even of life. Yet Paul, look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Yet Paul, who's going through all this stuff, he saw something that we haven't seen. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 1. It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago, whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such a one caught up into the third heaven. And you go through that thing, thorn of the flesh and the whole deal. I'm totally convinced that that's Paul, by the way. But some people tend to think not. But if you go on and keep reading, he says in verse 9, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. So there's places to look to realize that our leader, our Captain Kirk of Christianity, he's been through it. He's had more problems than we've had. Well, Paul never had a computer. Well, that's true. He never had to find internet signal, never had to lose his phone. Yeah, but, you know, he had his issues too. It took him a long time to get from point A to point B. He either had to walk or take a camel. Or a donkey, whichever, probably. Probably just smarted up, just kind of walked. So, these scriptures, look into Paul. Look into the risen Savior. There's our hope. There's our assurance. People don't have hope today. People have no assurance. Their pastors have so weakened them with their scriptures that they have no clue. Different Bibles say different things. Different preachers say different things. Different people say different things. But if you're a King James only guy, oh, fooey, we say different things too. But if you're a Paul following King James believer, then you got yourself some solid ground to stand on. Because that's what Christ told me personally. Now, so we see back in 2 Corinthians 12, 1 to 10, we see the fact that Paul saw Christ. I'm getting sleepy here because this room is so stuffy and so hot that I'm just starting to wobble here. And if I open up the door, it'll sound like I'm, you know how you play a trumpet in front of a fan, it goes, so I don't want to get that sound. But boy, we'll get this thing going here. So Paul saw Christ. Look at Galatians chapter 1. Same thing. I was taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. He saw Christ. Now there's some other verses, but not tonight. So, well, yeah, but see, Paul saw Christ. Well, listen, I'm seeing Christ with my scriptures. My Paul scriptures. And even then has to be rightly divided a little bit. So, This fellowship with the Lord, with the risen Savior, is based on the knowledge of Him through rightly divided scriptures and Paul. And you can have a hope, you can have an assurance, a confidence, a strength, you have great wisdom, not just because you're so-called saved, but because you've known what to study now. You can even have an understanding of what all is going on in this world. It just makes total sense. So these rightly divided scriptures through Paul give us the ability to stand. To stand against it all out there when you want to give up on it. We know according to, let's look at Philippians chapter 2 again. Philippians chapter 2, it's in the shuns world there. Philippians chapter 2, Philippians chapter 1, verse 1:28. And in nothing terrified by your adversaries. Boy, do we have adversaries. Which is to them of evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation, that of God. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer for His sake. So, when you try to stand up. Okay, hang on. When you try to stand up. We know that Paul gives us the assurance that we are going to suffer. 2 Timothy 3:12 as well. Am I going to make it through this thing here this evening? 2 Timothy 3:12. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. I would have to ask somebody, I suppose, I'm not sure if I would do this or not to their face, but I would say, I wonder how much of a godly life you're living while this is all taking place. Because that's what Paul does say. He doesn't say that we're just going to suffer because we're Christians. He says, all that will live godly, manner of life, manner of walk, there's what we're talking about here. If those are the things you're trying to do and you're getting down about it, then you're doing a better job, better than most. And Romans 1:16, come on, Romans 1:16. What's going on for some people is just the fact that they're ashamed of the gospel of Christ. They're ashamed of it. Romans 1:25 says down there that they're changed the truth of God into a lie and worship and serve the Creator more than the creature, more than serve the Creator more than the creature, more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Boy, my eyes are half open. Those words look the same there. So, you're ashamed of your situation. You're ashamed of it. But why would you be ashamed of a King James Bible? Why would you be ashamed of the risen Savior? And why would you be ashamed of Paul? Something else people are doing when they're considering suicide. Let's go to Romans chapter 2. Now the room is starting to spin just a little bit. It's really warm in here. Romans chapter 2, verse 4. Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? If a person does want to get into their scriptures, they just reject the goodness of God and concentrate, because that's what they're taught, concentrate on the severity of God. Because I need God to straighten me up and slap me around and fix me. Well, I need God to just have some grace, and he paid for it, so I'll just be up there. It'll be challenging in that judgment seat of Christ. But we don't need to be ashamed of our present situation. You have no money. Well, you haven't got a job. You haven't got a job because of such and such, or somebody watch, or whatever. The economy, the country. What are you going to do? Again, Romans 1:16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Apparently, people are ashamed of the gospel of Christ because they ignore it. They reject it. So they go to the gospel of Jesus. They go to the gospel of Noah, Moses. They go to their own gospel. They go to the gospel of Peter. They're just not interested in what Paul has to say. So, they reject what God has offered them. Isn't that just terrible? Now, if we look at the fact that, point number one, way back at the beginning, the question I have to ask people, are Bible verses good enough to get you out of a suicidal situation? Well, they should. I believe they should be. They should be. We trust his salvation, but people can't trust the fact that he's given us his faith. And he will keep us with his faith. Okay, now let's look in here, these little notes here. That was the longest yawn I've had all day. Well, this is hard to get out of the video, too. Understanding dispensations. People have to get into that Bible. They want to look to that Bible for answers, but they know nothing about dispensations, so they're actually trusting those profane and vain babblers. And that's too bad. They're going to lead you down the wrong path. They're called ministers of righteousness, but they belong to the devil. That's a good verse. But anyway. So what we have next to do here, in our future, it'll be Sunday morning again. Mark's going to do Wednesday night. I hope you do come Wednesday night.